Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Yes, so hello and welcome to another episode here. And I'm very happy to be able to introduce Jonah Anderson. So Jonah is MVP in Azure. She's a public speaker and she works as a senior Azure consultant at Solidify. She's also a Microsoft certified trainer and a podcast host. And today, I guess the main reason here is because she's also a book author on O'Reilly. So she has written this book here, Learning Microsoft Azure. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the book and also her motivation here for writing this book. So welcome, Jonah.
Hi, Håkan. So great to be in part of this episode at the GoTo Book Club today. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I think it can be worthwhile here just to go back a little bit in time here and talk about your early life and what was your inspiration as a young woman and as a young girl. What led you into this field of technology?
That's a very interesting question. Every story has its importance on our journey in each of us. But my journey is very special in tech because originally I did not plan to work as a programmer or as a developer or even to work as a writer. But my journey started in the Philippines. I grew up in a family that's just like middle class or not rich, you can call it. Eldest of four children. And then when I was young, I used to be very shy and I did not have the plan to work in IT, but my dream job was to work as a civil engineer because when I was young, I liked sketching and drawing and I liked the idea of being unique and building something. And back then in the Philippines, civil engineering is a man's dominated kind of job. And I kind of like intrigued me and interested me. I want to do that because it's different. So to make the long story short, when it was time for me to go to college, my father said, Jonah, we can't afford to send you to civil engineering course in the Philippines because in the Philippines, college is not actually free. Your parents have to pay for it or you have to be a scholar. So when they said that, I was disappointed. But I did not lose hope. So I took a scholarship that randomly came in my school. I took that without telling my parents. And then I came home and said one day, I got the scholarship. But civil engineering wasn't part of it. So I ended up choosing one of the courses offered by the scholarship, and that was computer science. And that's the beginning of my interest in IT. I studied, and then I graduated as a scholar. But then my mother died when I was 18 or was graduating. Instead of working as a programmer or developer at that time in my hometown in Dumaguete in the Philippines, I ended up being the breadwinner of the family, taking care of my three younger siblings. I worked not as a programmer, but a tech support, worked several jobs as a travel consultant, remote working. Until I moved to Sweden, like 2011, I said, I want to go back to where I should be doing, which is programming or development. So I studied more, computer programming courses in Yrkeshögskolan in Sweden for a few years. And then I've been a consultant now for the last 9 years. So that's my journey, the short version and speed version.
Mm-hmm. And now, what made you inspired here to write this book? What was sort of your motivation here?
Yes, I was very inspired to write this book. Actually, it was unplanned. I love reading books, like both books about leadership, about self-improvement, because I always want to improve myself. But then when I was a junior consultant or junior developers, I was involved in a cloud migration project in which I had a big responsibility to migrate an existing .NET old application app to a cloud platform, which is Microsoft Azure. At that time, I was a beginner of Azure. I was also a beginner in cloud development, but I learned a lot from that journey to the point that after the project, a few years ago, I decided to write this book because I noticed that in my project and even other companies that they are not they are moving to cloud or trying to modernize without really thinking strategically and clearly about the steps that they need to do. And it's not just about moving to cloud, but also having the knowledge and important factors when it comes to cloud migration.
Mm-hmm. So can you say that one of the motivation was here that when you started out, you were sort of missing some resources. So if you would have this book, you almost wrote it for yourself, but you know, for your historic self. So if you would have gotten this book back then, it would have helped you a lot, I suppose.
Yes, that's right. I wrote this book because it is a book that I want someone or a developer like me back in the past that had the same journey as I did, because I went through the journey of the lift and shift to virtual machine, the refactoring of an old code to try to put it in a platform as a service, to re-architecting and rebuilding the entire applications that works in production. But then that system didn't make it to production, not because I did not complete the project to modernize it, but because the organization that are using the system were not so confident and ready about the cloud. So, and they lack this knowledge that cloud is actually very good when it comes to making your applications or systems global or scalable or flexible.
Yeah, so I would like to talk a little bit more here about your book, Jonah. So first of all, you know, learning Azure is a very big topic. So how did you go about, you know, when you were writing this book, how did you do a good division of the subject?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Should I be excited or afraid of AI? The answer is yes, it's both.
Things are going to look so different in the next couple years. You will not be ready for the disruptions that are going to come.
I'm Jeff Nielsen, host of Digital Disruption, the go-to podcast for technology leaders.
Our generation's conflict, I think, is going to be emotional, not economic.
The companies that are going to win are the ones that have a couple of characteristics.
Stay ahead of the curve with Digital Disruption, available now on your favorite podcast platform.
Yes. So when I wrote the book, of course, my goal, I mean, the reason why I wrote the book was because of my cloud migration journey, which I learned a lot, both as a beginner and all the lessons learned. But I laid out the book to be beginner friendly. And we talked about inclusion in tech and including everybody in any technology that we are sharing or talking about, either by books, IT training or conferences. And my personal goal, I mean, personal preference when I speak, when I write, when I deliver something, is to think that there might be someone reading my book that is a beginner who wants to break into cloud computing or cloud engineering. So I laid out my book to be a beginner friendly, in which the first chapter starts by talking about cloud computing, the basics of it, fundamentals of it. And then I stepped into one of the platforms that I mentioned in the first chapter. So in the first chapter, I was also inclusive in all the cloud computing platforms. So I told the readers that there are major platforms also, even though the book is about learning Microsoft Azure, but there's also Google Cloud, AWS, Alibaba, IBM, those others. But I was honest to my reader to say this is Azure focus. And second chapter talks about Microsoft Azure fundamentals, which is the general like overview of the platform itself. And then the remaining chapters were chapters that are categorized in different categories within the Azure platform itself. So I have a chapter dedicated for compute services in Azure. I have a chapter dedicated for databases, for SQL servers, topics. I have a chapter for AI and machine learning and IoT. I have a topic about cloud migration and architecture, well-architected framework, and any cloud migration steps that you need to consider. I have a topic dedicated for security inside the book. And I also have a topic related to DevOps and monitoring, which is important. So the entire book is actually full packed with a lot of learning fundamentals for anybody. And it's inclusive to both beginners, intermediate, and even those that have worked with cloud for a while, but they want to refresh their skills in this technology. So total is like I have 14 chapters in this book, and it took almost 18 months or almost 2 years for me to write the book on my spare time and besides my full-time consulting job.
And I guess another challenge here in writing a book over time is that, you know, technology is also evolving, new frameworks appears. Like, for example, I suppose that when you started writing the book, generative AI or ChatGPT was probably not around. But, you know, when you finished the book, that was a very hot topic. How did you do, you know, to make sure to include, you know, the latest developments?
Yes, that's very, very, that's a reality. I think I met other book writers about like writing a book and about technology, and the technology evolves all the time. So in my journey, I did have that challenge or have to handle it as well. So one example is like the ChatGPT. So when I was almost done with the book, I think when I was in the 13th or 14th chapter, that's when also like, last year, ChatGPT and the different versions of it and AI services started to appear in the Microsoft arena or even open source. So I had to insert that topic in my AI machine learning chapter and edit it. And I know that you are one of the reviewers also, Håkan, so I do appreciate your contribution to that. Another challenge I had in the process of writing the book was when Microsoft Azure changed the name of one of their major services when it comes to identity, the Azure AD. It was changed to Intra ID. So when it happened, just like a few months when I was like almost done with the book, I mean, 1 month left, I had to go back to the second chapter, I believe, to change the names of the topic. I mean, the name of AD to Microsoft Intra ID, and then make changes to the illustrations from the beginning to the end. So it has this like steps that before the book is published, there's a new change. You try to put it as much as possible, but you cannot do that all the time, especially when the book is printed. So probably the second edition is an alternative, or updating the online version and work with the publisher is the next steps when it comes to like updating the book. And I know that my book needs updating, especially the AI chapter.
And I think another thing that I would like to talk to you about is this thing, you becoming a public speaker. Because you've mentioned here in previous interviews that when you grew up, you were actually quite shy as a child. But now, you know, you're standing on a large stage in front of hundreds of viewers, and you're also a certified trainer training many, many people. How did that transition came to be?
That is a great question. It's also part of my journey from the Philippines with this background of history of resiliency to moving to Sweden, being an IT consultant, and now having this person standing on stages and teaching technology or Azure or cloud to others. So that journey, actually what inspired me to go take the journey, which is a journey that just happens, is my passion to share knowledge because of my experience and lessons learned. So I did mention at the earlier question that you had that I used to be very shy. I was a breadwinner, but I was also very scared of public speaking. And I didn't start public speaking until I was so interested about what I do in tech. And of course, I had the opportunity to teach kids programming in my city in Sweden, in Sundsvall, as a consultant. And then I did some teaching of programming to kids. And I saw them, well, I was teaching JavaScript and block programming. My students were all boys. And there were like one or two girls, and there were not so many. And I thought to myself quietly, why is it that there's not so many ladies or girls interested in technology? What I do is fun, and I think there's a potential. So to make the long story short, I had the opportunity to stand on stage in front of the students in a Nordic Holland in Sundsvall. That's my first public speaking. I wasn't so fluent in Swedish then. I spoke Swedish anyway for 15 minutes and shared to the kids or to the youth why I started working in IT. And that kind of like impressed me in a way that public speaking wasn't so bad. So I started public speaking virtually by starting Azure User Group Sweden, which I co-host also with you. And I also started virtual public speaking, especially during the pandemic when all of us were locked down and working remotely and learning remotely together. So that's how it started. And now the world opened up after pandemic. So I've been invited to speak in many conferences. So I've been in conferences for 5 conferences in a row this past 2 weeks. So impressive, and at the same time humbled that I'm being appreciated in what I do.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say, you know, this conference speaking at different places here, how would that influence your career and also, you know, your personal growth?
Yes. First, career. The reason career, it did really help me. I mean, aside from growing my professional social network in LinkedIn, for example, since I started public speaking like a few years ago, I grew my followers for just like 500 normal connections to now almost 14,000 followers that I met at conferences or just saw me somewhere, read my book. So that increased my followers, but it's just followers. They're just number. But career wise, I did prove to my employers or even my project leaders that I am credible in working in these technologies that I'm talking about because I learn by doing and I teach by doing. And that's, quite, inspiring.
Mm-hmm. And I know another thing that is close to your heart here is about, you know, how we can promote diversity and inclusion in the tech industry. Can you say a little bit, a couple of words about that? What are your thoughts about how we can go about doing that?
Yes, for me to promote diversity and inclusion is it's not just about having this 50%. Women, 50% men, or like this numbers for companies, because I know many companies are aiming to have more female developers, but how can we create that? For me, in my perspective, as someone trying to be a role model, so I won Developer of the Year awards into awards last year and this year also. To me, being a role model and creating a diverse workplace means that you are including everybody as an individual. You are including everybody in everything that you do, whatever it is, teaching, or conversation or even work that we do together or as a team. And for me, in an organization, it is important to listen and to have respect to different cultures and different backgrounds and be sensitive about that. Maybe that person, like, for example, I came from a different background. And one of the challenges I had when I was a junior developer working in Sweden in IT, coming from a culture that is an Asian culture, a different culture, was to adjust to the culture of the IT workplace that I'm working to. So vice versa, I think truly respecting and understanding each other's background and including everybody's opinion is one of the best ways. And being a role model so is very important and keep inspiring with knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And also, in addition to being a role model, you are also very active as a mentor. So can you say a little bit about what are your thoughts about mentorship and what do you think are some important aspects of being a mentor?
Yes. Yeah, thank you for that. That's a good question. So mentorship is one of the important skills that I really like to both apply in myself and also I like to give to others. Mentorship, if to me, in my perspective, is a two-way relationship where you build this trust between you and the mentee, or the other way, if you're a mentee or with your mentor, in a way that you build this collaborative relationship to help each other either in your career development or being good, being better in programming with .NET or programming with Azure. So mentorship is a two-way relationship. And it plays a vital role when it comes to creating a good culture, a good workplace environment, and even inviting more women in tech or more inclusive tech in any organizations or any projects.
Mm-hmm. And you have talked a little bit here about your background and how you got into tech here. And what would you say here for those who are listening to this podcast here, and maybe they're just in the start of their own journey? What are some practical steps that they could take to get started into the tech field?
A good question. I like that. I would have asked this also to myself if I was a beginner and would need advice. So taking the first steps, like, baby steps are very important. So my advice is to first, I mean, regardless of whatever situation that you have, because we can grow up. I mean, I grew up in the Philippines and I didn't end up, I would be in Sweden and I would be an author. So destiny and like life just throw you to places you don't expect, you don't know. But my advice is that when you know your passion and your why and the things that you want to do in life or in your career in IT, go for it. Try to chase it, even if opportunities may not come now, but keep chasing the dream or the passion that you have in the career that you want, especially in IT. Number two is to build your network and find mentors that you can be inspired of. So there are a lot of like experts that truly inspire others and they're passionate about what I do. Like myself, I'm very passionate about what I do. And then lastly is to also like build your career and skills in tech or IT by going to courses, going to conferences, and learning in a community by being part of it. And don't be shy to share your knowledge to others, even if it's a lessons learned or mistakes that you solved. Just show it, because there might be someone out there that don't know about you or heard about you that you can help with your solution. So those are my top three. I have more for sure, but those are the top.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say, because as we all know, tech is a field that is rapidly evolving here and continuous learning is essential here. So do you have some some practices or some strategies for how you can keep your own skills up to date?
Yes, good question. One of the tips I have when it comes to upskilling is to, of course, use the resources that's available, like books, conferences, meetups for community, and also my certifications. So regardless of whatever platform that you're trying to learn in terms of cloud or programming languages that you want to do hands-on, choose a focus area that you want to do and you think that's very interesting personally. And then go for aiming that certification or learning at least one programming language if you're a developer to start with. And then next is to, of course, apply what you learned and share it out. So you do the learning, the application, and the knowledge sharing. So all top three steps.
Okay. Thank you. So so I think we are about here to reach the end of our conversation here. But I would like to finish this discussion talking about the vision here for the future, because you are also the co-host for the Extend Women in Tech podcast. And what vision do you have for the future of women in the field of tech? And what steps do you think are necessary to realize that vision?
Yes, lovely question. Lots of questions, great questions from you, Håkan. Yes, yes, I'm a co-host of a podcast, Extend Women in Tech, and it is a side project that, like non-profit project that I do in my spare time with my friend, developer friend from Stockholm, Shetty. She's also like from Africa or from a different country who moved to Sweden, and she really was passionate about this. And our vision is to invite anybody, especially women in tech or underrepresented group, to come into our podcast and share about their tech stories, regardless if it's they are junior developers or any role they have in IT. So I believe that in terms of the vision of the future of how we can bring in more women or inclusive tech in organizations today is truly about building this like culture of like welcoming everybody regardless of their background, and also lifting up those underrepresented groups that are not often lifted out normally. So, and for the women that are underrepresented or those that are not being lifted up, don't wait until you be lifted up by someone or by your employer. Do something about it. If you really want to inspire others and share the knowledge, do it. Like, share the knowledge to the world and tell what you can do. Because I noticed that since I started public speaking and just like inspiring people on social media or LinkedIn, like at conferences, women that are working as a developer just reach out to me after my talk and they just say, "Jonah, I'm very inspired about what you do. I want to be like you." And hearing that from others is truly inspiring. And I want those women in tech or underrepresented people in tech that were inspired by me be inspired as well, that they can forward it to others. So that's how we take effect, good effect, at least in my perspective.
And I know you have a big network here, both within the MVP community, within the Microsoft Certified Trainer community, and for public speakers in general. Could you use that somehow as an inspiration here or as a help in your writing this book?
Yes, I did. I love sharing knowledge and I'm passionate about it, but I also want to include everybody in a way that, hey, I am the writer of this book. I wrote it myself, but I can be biased or I can be someone that don't have so much skills. And I mean, I can write a book, I can be expert at something, but I want to involve the other experts. So what I did, I have a lot of friends from the Microsoft certified trainers community, as you said, public speakers as well, and MVPs. So what I did is that aside from writing my book, I reach out to my friends that I know that are good in like AI or good in databases. I reach out to them that, hey, I have this book I'm writing. Would you mind contributing at least one or two sentence of your expert code about this topic of like architecture on Azure or cloud databases? So 14 chapters. So I asked 14 people, I chose them one by one, pick them and say, can you write one? And they did volunteer their time, and even those that did tech reviews and those that are early readers. So I really, really appreciate it. And I think I involved more or less like 30 or 40 people from the community that are experts. So the book is compact with those contributions, and including the foreword. Four words, two of them, and then the afterword, I personally choose the person and the community friends that will write about it because of what they do also for others.
And now, you know, you spent almost 2 years writing this book, but what are your thoughts about writing another book?
That's a good question. I have a plan to update my book, especially the AI chapter. I have to go through, read my own book in another perspective and the hat of also an expert and say what I need to update. I have a plan to update it, but in terms of writing a new book, maybe I will write something about like cloud native or serverless, but no plan yet. It's because I'm working on, I just recorded or started making or building my first on-demand course with O'Reilly, which is hopefully coming up in the next few months. It's an on-demand course about breaking into cloud engineering, which is beginner-friendly to those developers who want to learn cloud. So on-demand courses for now, and probably book next year. I don't know yet. It depends on how it goes with my time and the passion that comes in.
Mm-hmm. I know you're also a passionate reader, not only tech books, but also books in general here. Would you consider writing a non-tech book?
Yes, I actually have a plan that before I retire, at least, or latest, I'm going to write a book about myself, biography. I mean, I like reading books, but I was thinking, I have so much to share about myself. I mean, like life-wise, the resiliency and lessons learned I have in my life, and also technology-wise. So I've been through a good journey in IT that I know that many will be inspired. So I hope to write my own biography, self-biography, or someday in a few years. And I have my ideas already in my mind. I just don't know if I'm going to self-publish it or I'm going to look for a publisher that supports non-technical books.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say here, you know, apart from your own book, would you be able to give some recommendation here, both for a tech book and also a non-tech book that you think could be worthwhile for our viewers?
Yes. Oh, it depends on the topic, of course. Okay, there's so many good work, right? But of course, if it's Azure, I would recommend my book, Learning Microsoft Azure, Cloud Computing and Development Fundamentals. But there are other good books especially in the go-to book club. I know that there are some like previous episodes that are really good. Like many O'Reilly books are pretty good, and other publishers also have quality books. But there was one that I like, which is an O'Reilly book, good probably for your architects or developers, Designing Data-Driven Applications by Martin. I forgot the exact name, but one of my good technical book. And for non-technical, I love reading leadership books. So one of my favorite one is by Simon Sinek, Find Your Why. And it is a book that will help you think about your why you do what you do, and it will inspire you. And when it comes to public speaking, one of the recent book that I read that was recommended by another speaker in one of the conferences is a book called The Charisma Myth, which is a good one. I read it like in 1 week with lots of bookmarks, and I think I'm going to read it again. I bought a second copy because I'm going to give it away to another friend. So, or trying to do the public speaking. It's not just about public speaking, the Charisma Myth book, but it's also about communication to others, which is good when it comes to team collaboration and any IT projects.
Nice. And for those of you who has your book and would like to have it autographed, where can they meet you now in the future?
Yes, I will be in Godo, Copenhagen next week or soon. I mean, depending on when this episode is going to be released. But my next conference is in Godo, Copenhagen. I will be speaking about developing serverless or developing Azure Durable Functions to solve a complex workflow when it comes to developing event-driven apps on Azure. And then after Godo Copenhagen, I have another scheduled conference in Scotland, Scottish Summit. I know you will be there also, Håkan. And then a few conferences within Sweden, like ESPC and also Oredev in Malmo. I will be there as well to speak about Azure Developer CLI. So I speak a bit of a mixed development and cloud migration topics in my talk. Sometimes I do inspirational talks if I'm invited.
Nice. So it's possible to get an autograph book from you there.
Yes, yes. So it depends how much I can carry on my luggage. I did an autograph signing in the previous conference, Experts Live Europe in Budapest. Just this week, I brought 5 copies of the book, and some of my audience were like disappointed get a chance to raffle. But if they want to have a signed copy, what they can do is, if they know I'm going to the conference, they can just like buy the book maybe in Amazon and then come to the conference if they bought a ticket. Otherwise, they can let me know ahead of time so I can try to put in the book in my luggage and sign it, and you can buy it directly from me, custom signed and a picture, of course, if they want to.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good offer.
Yes.
So I think it's been a very, very inspiring conversation here with you, Joona. So I have to thank you. Thank you so much for participating.
Yes, thank you so much for asking great questions, Håkan, and for interviewing me. Great questions.
Mm-hmm. And so with that said, I would like to thank all of you viewers who are either listening or watching this. And this has been another episode of the GoTo Book Club. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.